James chapter 2, verse 14, please. James chapter 2, verse number 14. James chapter 2, verse 14. James chapter 2, verse number 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help me do my best to preach this very important message on this very important subject, faith and works, and the role of faith and works in our salvation and so on. So I pray you help me do my best to expound the Word of God this evening. Again, we pray for anyone who might be on their way to get them here safely. And we do pray also for Carl and his group. Is there in the back there? I pray to give them a great meeting tonight. I pray to continue using Carl as he does his best to try to help our young people and build our youth group. And just we're asking for a great meeting tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Now this passage tonight that I just read has caused much debate and confusion. I remember a few years ago talking to an unsaved Roman Catholic relative about salvation by grace through faith alone. Of course, that's the main difference between a Roman Catholic and a Baptist. Now, there are many differences. We know that they pray to Mary and they follow the Pope and many of them worship statues and idols. And I'm not saying there aren't quite a few differences, but the number one difference, the main difference, is a Roman Catholic thinks he's saved by his good works. Sacraments, baptism, so on. I'll give you an example. Many of you probably heard about that policeman who was shot and killed in Brooklyn the other day. Some punk shot him and killed him, and this poor man left behind four daughters, and it's a really sad story. Well, in today's paper, there were some letters to the editor. And several Roman Catholic people wrote letters saying, oh, he's in heaven now, that policeman. And one person said, you know, St. Peter welcomed him with open arms. Now, I don't know anything about this policeman, but I'll tell you what. If he's in heaven, it's because he trusted Christ as the Savior. Not because he was a good man or a good father or he did good works or he died in a line of duty. But that's the way a lot of people think. You know, he was a good man, a good person. His good deeds outweighed his bad deeds and so on. And that's Catholic thinking. And not just Catholics. I mean, a lot of Protestants think that way. Even some Baptists think that way. Nations think that way. Jewish people think that way. The cults teach that way. The Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and so on. It's all about good works. And so this passage has confused some people. But I remember this Catholic relative explaining to me, and he said, look at the book of James. He said, look at James. And by the way, most Catholics don't even know the Bible. At least this Catholic knew a little bit about the Bible. And he went to James chapter 2, verse 24, and he said, you see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. And, of course, there are several verses here in this chapter which seem to indicate a person is saved by good works or by a combination of good works and faith. Well, I responded to that by pointing out to my Catholic relative that Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and I'm sure most of you are familiar with that passage. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, I read to him, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So let's just settle it right there. We're saved by God's grace through faith in Christ, not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So, well, you know what he said then? He said, well, I guess James and Paul contradict each other. Well, there's no contradiction, you see. Those of us who believe the Bible know there's no contradictions in the Bible. But, you know, a lot of folks have thought that. Martin Luther, for example, believed that James and Paul contradicted each other. And so Luther thought the book of James should not be part of the New Testament. Shows you how mixed up Luther was in some ways. But there is no contradiction. James and Paul complement each other. They're looking at it from two different perspectives. There's no contradiction. I read to you Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. How about verse 10? Let's go to verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So works are important. We were created unto good works. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has beforehand, it says, ordained that we should walk in them. So what is verse 10 saying? Works are definitely going to follow. If you're saved, there should be some good works. Let me say that works are evidence of your conversion. Works are evidence that you're genuinely saved. Now, James 2 teaches that God tests faith by good works, and that good works are evidence of genuine faith. And there are many scriptures which clearly teach we're saved by God's grace through faith, but works are evidence. In other words, works should follow. But when people say you need to do good works to be saved, they're putting the cart before the horse. And unfortunately, that's very common. Look at Titus 3:8. Look at Titus chapter 3, verse 8. And then we'll get back to James. But look at Titus 3:8. Titus chapter 3, verse 8 says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God..." Now, when he says they that believe in God, he's talking about believers, those that are saved. "But they which believe in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." So, Paul tells Titus, in chapter 3, verse 8, that those of us that are saved should be careful to maintain good works. Not to be saved, but because we are saved. You see. So, works are important. And there is a place for works, but works have nothing to do with our salvation. But I would say works are certainly evidence of salvation. So when someone tells me, "I'm saved," "Yeah, you've been baptized?" "No, no." You go to church?" "No." "You read the Bible?" "No." "You contribute to the Lord's work?" "You know, you give to the church, you tithe, you give to me?" "No." "Did you ever try to win anybody to the Lord?" "No." I said, "I don't think you're saved, buddy." Amen? There's no evidence. There's no evidence. But we got to be careful, because some people can go to church and look pretty good and talk pretty good, but they're not saved. You see, you have to be born again. But what I'm trying to say is, works are the result, or you should say the fruit of conversion and salvation. Not the root, but the fruit. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:5, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except be reprobates?" So there should be some testing, and that's what James 2 is talking about. Now let me start off tonight by saying this. There is a counterfeit faith that does not save. It's not real. It's counterfeit. Look at James chapter 2, verse 14. Let's go back to James in chapter 2, verse 14. "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say..." Now notice that word "say." I'm going to mark that word. He says he has faith. Does he really have faith? Well, he says he does. "What shall it profit, my brethren, Though a man say he has faith and has not works, can faith save him?
So James is saying, hypothetically, here's a man who says he has faith. He says he has faith, but it's no works.
Now, there is a counterfeit faith. People say that they have faith. They say that they're Christian. They say they're saved. They say they're born again. But it's counterfeit. If a man gets caught with counterfeit money, he goes to jail. A man with counterfeit faith goes to hell. That's all there is to it. I don't care if you're a church member or what, but if he's not genuinely saved, he's going to go to hell. The story's told that the devil had a meeting with all of his demons to decide how to more effectively lead men to hell. One demon suggested that they tell people that God doesn't really love them. The devil rejected that suggestion right away because it's quite obvious that God does in fact love people. So he didn't like that idea. A second demon stood up and suggested that they persuade men that death ends all, and there's no need to worry about eternity. If you die, that's it. This too was not accepted. He said, most people know better than that. Most people instinctively believe in the afterlife. Other suggestions were made, but none were approved, until finally one demon said this: I recommend that we tell everyone that God loves them, and that there is a real heaven and a real hell, but that all a person needs to do is just say that you believe, and then keep on living in sin like he used to. Well, they decided to use that tactic, and it's proven quite successful. Well, you know, that's just a make-believe story, but it certainly lines up with Scripture. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15 says, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And then he says his ministers, Satan's ministers, are transformed as the ministers of righteousness. The devil is certainly deceiving people. And he's got his own false gospel. And the devil has his people in the churches deceiving people. Jesus said in Matthew 13, verse 25, that while men slept, the devil came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. The devil is busy sowing tares among the wheat. And you know, tares look just like wheat, but they're not wheat. And tares are not wheat, but the wheat is genuine, the tares are not. And Jesus said the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. Matthew 13, verse 40. Notice again what James says in chapter 2, verse 14. If a man say he has faith, in other words, he might say that he has faith, he might say that he believes, he might say that he's saved, but he's not genuinely saved. Not long after I was saved, I heard a statement that impressed me, and I've heard it many times since. Someone said there are many professors, but not that many possessors. And that's true. When you look at America, for example, where the vast majority of people profess to be Christian, but how many of them are really saved? You know, just go out and knock on doors and talk to people. Most people here in Elmont say they're Christian. Most of them do. But you know, most of them are not Christian, though. Doesn't take you long talking to them to figure that out. They profess to be saved, but they don't really possess eternal life. The Bible teaches that a faith that does not result in good works cannot save. Many nominal Christians have never been born again. You know, they say they go to church, they might be church members, they might believe a few facts about the Bible and about Jesus, but they've never been born again. And they're not really going to heaven, they're not saved. Week after week, these people go to church and they stand and they sit and they kneel and they sing and they pray and they might listen to some sermons. Sometimes just sermonettes, whatever it may be, but they're lost. And they're going right to hell. Many people say, I believe in God, or I believe in Jesus, but they are lost. They've never been genuinely saved. James, look what James says about this. Look at verse 19. Thou believest that there's one God? I do as well. The devils also believe and tremble. I remember one time, a long time ago in Virginia, I was out knocking on doors with a buddy of mine from Bible college, and some lady answered the door, and she goes, I believe in God. And my classmate said, well, you know, the devils believe, and they tremble. And she got so mad, you trying to say I'm a devil? That's not what he was saying, but that's the way she took it. Well, she might not have been a devil, but she was definitely a child of the devil. I'll tell you right now, she was no more saved than the man on the moon. But she said she believed, you see? There's a lot of people like that. They believe, and James says the devils also believe. And they tremble. But you know what? A lot of unsaved sinners don't even tremble anymore. Cold and hard as can be. Saving faith is more than mental assent to certain well-known facts concerning God and concerning the Bible. A person can agree with everything you say. You can say, you believe in Jesus? Yes. Do you believe he's the only way to heaven? Yes. Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Yes. Do you believe in a real heaven, real hell? Yes. They can believe all those things and still be lost. You see? It's not just what's up here, it's what's in the heart. Amen? It's not just agreeing to a few facts. Oh, yeah, I believe that, I believe that. But are they trusting in Christ? Are they depending upon Him? That's the question. Saving faith is more than just agreeing to a certain... That's why we've got to be careful with soul winning. And the Romans Road, you know, so many Romans Road people, they get out of Romans Road so quickly. Do you believe you're a sinner? Yes. Do you believe you're going to go to hell? Yes. Do you believe you're starting to say this little prayer with me? A lot of folks say that prayer. Doesn't mean they're really saved. Now, some might be. I mean, I don't know. But I think many who do are not really saved. You have to be careful when you explain salvation and make sure they understand what it means to trust in Christ. A sinner has to be born again. And when he is truly, genuinely born again, there's going to be a definite change. And that change will result in works. That's why works are important. Not to be saved, but if a person is saved, works are evidence. Works will be the result, proving a definite change in his life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. He's a new creature. He doesn't do the things he used to do anymore. Doesn't talk the way he used to talk anymore. Doesn't go to the places to go anymore. Doesn't hang around the same old people he used to hang around before he got saved. He's a new person now. That's what the Bible teaches. Listen, I'm eager to get people saved. I'd love to get folks saved. I'd love to get baptized, join the church. But in our efforts, let's be careful we don't just accept any kind of profession. And we got a lot of folks that go to church and say they're saved, but I don't think they're saved. You see, there's no works. Works can't save them, but works should follow, should be evidence. That's what James is saying here. There's a counterfeit faith that does not save. And then James says, faith without works is dead. It's not real. It's not alive. It's not living. It's dead. Look at verse 18. James 2:18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest as one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And then he says the same thing in verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So faith without works is dead. A faith without works is not a real faith. It's only a make-believe faith, a counterfeit faith. And again, I'll say it again, works are not the root of salvation, but they certainly are the fruit of salvation. Remember what Jesus said, you know them by their fruits in Matthew 7:16. A lot of people who claim to be saved give no evidence at all of being saved. And true living faith produces works. If it doesn't produce works, then it is barren, useless, worthless, good for nothing. And that's what we're seeing in a lot of churches. That's what's happening. That's why the churches are dead, because faith without works is dead. You got a dead preacher, and you got dead officers, and a dead choir, and dead Sunday school teachers. In fact, not really have Sunday school anymore. They gave up on that. Everything's just dead. Just dead. Nobody's getting saved. Because dead people can't reproduce themselves. So everything's just dead. And James illustrates this point by giving the example of how some insincere so-called churchgoers will not lift one finger to help a brother in need. Look at James 2:15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Look also at 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. 1 John 3, that's the chapter we were in on Sunday morning, actually. 1 John 3, verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. What's John saying?
Same thing James saying. Let's put your words into action. Let's see some evidence that you really are a Christian. Let's see some results. Let's see some works. Let's see some fruit. But we don't see it oftentimes. By the way, these verses talk about helping people in need. I've read this many times. I've heard this many times. You have some of these so-called liberal churches, and they criticize fundamental churches, and they'll say, oh, those people are so cold, they're so hard. But you know, the fact that the fundamental churches give much, 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 much more money away than the liberal churches do, it's a fact. It's a fact. Much more. That's not even talking about just missions. Everything. Right across the board. Helping people. Distributing money. See, the liberal churches don't want to give it themselves. They want to just raise taxes and give somebody else's money away. That's what they want to do. But the fundamental churches say, no, we're not looking for the government to do it. We'll help out. We'll do what we can. Big difference there, my friend. And some of these big talking politicians always talking about helping those less fortunate. They look at their income tax returns. They don't give any money away. And then the conservatives who portray as being so heartless because they want to try to lower taxes, they give away a lot of money. It's a fact. Some give away 15%, 20% of their money away. Now, I don't know. I'll tell you, there's a lot of phony, insincere people out there. And James says, action speaks louder than words. And the Lord puts needy people in our way so we can help them. And that's what the church is for. And Martin Heim said this, that is what is wrong today. How many times do you say to a brother in trouble, I'll pray for you, and do it only to get rid of him? The world wants action, not words. And many a cheap, stingy heart is camouflaged in the pious cant and hollow prayer. The world is not interested in our prayers. It wants evidence. How many souls are being kept from Christ through our inconsistency? Now, when we talk about helping people in need, I'm not talking about helping some lazy loafer. I'm not talking about helping some guy who's going to go out and spend the money on dope or alcohol. I'm talking about somebody with a genuine need. And that's what James is talking about here. And Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Notice Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith. They say, Lord, Lord. Well, what did James say? James 2:14. What shall it profit, my brother, if a little man say he have faith? And I mentioned, I think it was last week, you compare the book of James with the Sermon on the Mount. You compare the book of James with Matthew 5, 6, and 7. You'll see so many interesting connections there. And here's another one. James says, what should it profit, my brother, though a man say he have faith? And the Lord Jesus said, everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now, I've said it before, I'll say it again. A person can understand salvation intellectually, but still have no commitment. Too many preachers are shooting for the head when they should be shooting for the heart. That's the problem. We should aim for the heart. Now, I'm not saying bypass, go over the head or bypass the head. You ought to get something to think about it and got to challenge them. But the most important thing that's got to be touched is the heart. You got a lot of folks, their heads full of Bible ideas and knowledge, but their heart has to be touched. And that's the problem. That's why they're dead. Faith without works is dead. Well, let me get to my third point. Moving along here. We see here that there's a counterfeit faith that doesn't save. Faith without works is dead. Thirdly, works are the evidence of saving faith. And I suppose you can summarize the chapter by saying that. Because somebody would say, doesn't James keep repeating over and over how important works are? Yes, he's emphasizing it because works are the evidence of saving faith. And he gives a couple of examples here. The example of Abraham and the example of Rahab. And the point James is trying to make is that good works are the outward proof
of the reality of our faith. God knows our heart, but man doesn't know our heart. God sees our heart, but man doesn't see our heart. Therefore, works give an outward expression to what would otherwise be invisible. You see, in other words, God looks down at you and says, I know his heart, I know her heart. They're real, they're saved. You can't see their heart. I can't see your heart, but I can see your works. Amen? You see, works are evidence. You see. God knows our hearts, but man doesn't. Look at James chapter 2, verse 18. Yeah, man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me! See that? Show me! Give me some evidence, is what James is saying. Show me thy faith without thy works. And I will show thee my faith by my works. You see, I'll give you some evidence that my faith is real by my works. Thou believest that there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Notice that word in verse 18, show. Show. Show me thy faith. To show faith apart from works is impossible. Think about that. How can you possibly show anybody your faith? How can you? You can show it by your works. Faith and good works, I mean genuine faith and genuine good works, are inseparable. And James gives two examples from the Old Testament. Both Abraham and Rahab were justified before God by their faith. And while we're considering that statement, just go to Hebrews 11. What is Hebrews 11 known as? The faith chapter. And Abraham and Rahab are both mentioned in that famous chapter, the faith chapter. Abraham and Rahab are examples of believers who were justified before God by their faith. Now, hang on. They were justified before men by their works, because works were the evidence that they had genuine saving faith. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 17. Right before the book of James is the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse number 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. According that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also received him in the figure. So, when Abraham offered up Isaac, he was willing to offer him up. Of course, God stopped him at the last minute. But that was evidence that he was really trusting in God. Because God told him, you're going to be a great nation. And your seed through Isaac is going to be as innumerable as the stars in the sky and the sand on the beach. Now, how could that promise be fulfilled if Isaac was going to die? That took faith, right? But then it says here, verse 19, accounting that God was able. Remember, God is able to do anything. Nothing's too hard for God. God was able to raise him up, even from the dead. So Abraham's thinking, well, God promised me Isaac is going to be a great nation, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. If Isaac dies, how's that going to happen? Oh, God will raise him from the dead, that's all. That's faith, amen? So when Abraham was willing to do that with Isaac and go up there on Mount Moriah, and remember Isaac said, son, where's dad's father? Where's the sacrifice? You know, he said, where's the lamb? And Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. Well, that's faith. Now look at Rahab, verse number 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. In other words, everybody in Jericho perished, except Rahab and her family. Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies and feast. Now, not as much is said about Rahab as Abraham, but you know the story. When she saved those Israelite spies, that was her works. That was evidence that she was putting her faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. the God of Israel. So James gives these two as examples of their works, the evidence of their faith. They were justified before God by their faith. They were justified before men by their works. James chapter 2 and verse number 21. James chapter 2 and verse number 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Now what does he mean by that? What it says over and over again, not only in Genesis, but in the book of Romans and the book of Hebrews, and through the Bible, Abraham's lifted up as an example of somebody who's justified by faith. What does it mean here? Was not Abraham our father justified by works? He was justified before men by his works. Justified before God by his faith. When he offered Isaac his son upon the altar, seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. That's Genesis 15, verse 6, by the way. And he was called a friend of God. So here, James explaining it all. Yes, Abraham was, he believed God. That's how he was saved. He was justified by faith. But his works were evidence of that faith. And then he said, you see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Verse 25, likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and had sent them out another way? No, she was saved because she believed in the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But by doing that and saving those spies, she was giving evidence before men that she was a real believer. You see? That way the Israelites knew, hey, she's one of us. She believes in the same God we believe in. Look how she risked her life to save us like that, you see? And God honored that. And God spared her when he destroyed Jericho, you see? So Abraham was saved because he believed God. James chapter 2, verse 23, Genesis 15, 6. And I mentioned the book of Romans. You study Romans chapter 4. Talks about Abraham being saved by faith. But it was years later on, after Abraham was saved, that he offered up Isaac. And we see that referred to here in verse 21. This proved, by offering up Isaac, this proved to men that Abraham had true faith in God. His faith was tested up on Mount Moriah, and Abraham passed the test. Rahab the harlot was a Gentile who heard about the true God of Israel, and she put her faith in him. Look quickly at Joshua chapter 2, verse number 9. Joshua chapter 2, verse number 9. Joshua 2, 9. And she, Rahab, said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. See, she believed that. Doesn't just mean she heard it. She believed it. She knew it. I know the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. But we heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom he utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord, and watch this now, verse 11, for the Lord, and notice this capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's Jehovah. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now you think about that. She's a heathen. Those people in Jericho worship all sorts of false gods, all sorts of pagan deities and idols. And she said, no, the Lord your God, Jehovah God, he is God in heaven above and earth beneath. That's how she was saved. That's how she was justified before God. But she was justified before men because of her works and helping those Israelites and saving them when the soldiers came looking for them, and she hid them and so on. So she gave evidence of her faith by helping the Israelites. And James concludes this chapter by comparing faith to the human body. He likens works to the spirit. And the body without the spirit is dead and useless. And so is faith without works. It's a worthless faith, not a genuine saving faith. Someone said this, I thought I'd share it with you tonight. You are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by deeds that you do and by words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? Heavenly Father, we're thankful. We have a truth of